Please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. And we will start with verse number 17. Jeremiah 32, 17. Are you ready? Yes. Praise God. The word says this. It says, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee." Say nothing.
Nothing,
nothing is too difficult for thee. Say it. "Who showest loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty indeed." You remember that song? "You're the great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed." And he goes on, "Great in counsel, mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds, who has set signs and wonders," say signs and wonders,
"signs and wonders,
in the land of Egypt and even to this day," say
even to this day,
"both in Israel and among mankind," say
among mankind,
"and thou hast made a name for thyself as it is this day." Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we lift your word to you. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you for what it does, Father, while we're awake, while we're sleeping, at our work, our rest, and our play. And I thank you, wonderful Jesus. Let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen. And let this nation be challenged once again to believe in you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. This verse of scripture, I want to challenge something into you today and just push it into your spirit. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, go,
go
for signs and wonders.
Turn
to your other neighbor and tell them, go for signs and wonders. Praise God Almighty. It's very, very important that we understand that our God is a supernatural God. If we don't elevate ourselves and rise to the challenge of signs and wonders, then all we're going to do is have a natural God. That's it. What use is words? You know, that's one thing I always challenge Jehovah's Witnesses on, is their inability to operate in the supernatural. Jesus said, when you go out and you share the word, he says, when you enter their house, he says, pray for the peace to enter their house, and if they welcome you, your peace will remain, right? But he also said, lay hands on the sick, pray for the sick that God will heal them. So our God should be supernatural. If all we have is words, then we need to give up. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, go for signs and wonders. Go for signs and wonders. Look at what he says here in Jeremiah number 32 and verse 17 to 20. We just read the 17th, 18th, 19th. Now look at the 20th verse in detail. It says, "You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and even to this day." What does "even to this day" mean? Yeah, right? That's what "now" means. It's like you can't take away, remove the supernatural from your Bible will be to have less than a quarter of a Bible left. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning. Go for signs and wonders. Amen. Like, go for them. I don't just mean kind of accommodate them in life and everything like that, but I actually mean like go for them. Do you know what to go for something is? You know, I come from an Irish background. In fact, you know, let me borrow that crutch in the corner there, please. Brother Darren, if you could. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Come here, come here. Right. Now, I grew up in an Irish household, right? I grew up in a very rough neighborhood in Tottenham in London, you've heard my testimony, right? There was this roughneck pub. That's the only way to describe it. Roughneck pub called the Flower Pot. It's gone now, so I can talk about it. It's now in the annals of history, right? And there used to be a pool table there. You know pool, where you learn how to, like, that's a misspent youth thing. Anyone here good at pool? It either means you were a criminal or you had too much time on your hands bunking off school. And we'd play pool, and then there would be this, tempers would fray. And a friend of mine, his name was Pat. Pat was like, he wasn't very too like strongly built, but he was kind of psychotic, you know? And one time he was playing pool, somebody got in the way, and he went for it. He swung the pool cue around like that. He says, if anyone steps inside this circle while I'm playing pool, they're dead. Now, this pub was full of criminals, ne'er-do-wells, armed robbers, killers, muggers, burglars, scramblers, pickpockets, peddlers, panhandlers, you name it, they were there, right? But nobody ventured except one. And then my friend went for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, go for it. See, when I say go for it, you might have something else in mind, but that's what I've got in mind. You know the way an attack dog will attack a person or a stick or anything that you throw it?
Yes.
Right. Some of you won't go to the park because there's, you know, the neighbor down the road, they've got a psychotic dog. Why? Because the dog goes for it. Go for it.
Yes.
The Bible says, and we just read it in verse number 20. Look at this. It says, you've set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Right. We're not in the land of Egypt, right? But it says, and even to this day, both in Israel and among mankind. So are we in this day?
Yes.
Are we among mankind?
Yes.
Right. So this is how God makes a name for himself.
Yes.
You have made a name for yourself as at this day. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, go for signs and wonders. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, very, very common passage of scripture. I love it. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we, that's you and I, are his workmanship. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we might walk in them. They've been prepared, the Bible says, beforehand. So God's already put them there. Let me do a demonstration here real quick. Let me borrow, Tim, can I borrow you? Hey, let me borrow that crutch again. I like this crutch. Thank you. Thanks so much, Alex. Right, now, okay. The Bible talks in the third chapter of Acts, just sit down on the steps there, about a lame man who was lame from his mother's womb. So there's your crutch, but you have to put the crutch on properly. Come on now. No, you threw your arm. That's it, right. I can tell he's never been sick. Okay. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 that this guy was lame from his mother's womb, right? The Bible says that he was 38 years old. And it says that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. You know that story? Very common story in Acts chapter 3, right? There's this lame man, 38 years old. Now, if he was laid, the Bible says he was laid daily at the temple in a place called Solomon's Porch. If you read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll know that Jesus passed by Solomon's Porch because it was part of the temple in Jerusalem. So the pool of Bethsaida was there. Do you remember where the guy said, there's no one to stir the waters? And Jesus said, take up your bed. And then there was another guy who was blind, and Jesus laid hands on him. And the guy saw, he says, I don't know who it was who healed me. You know, like he's gone. But I do know that I see. You see what I'm saying? Now, right, so this guy is lame here. Jesus is preaching in the temple. He's preaching here, there, and everywhere in the temple. But this guy has been here 38 years. Jesus then suffers, dies, raised from the dead, ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. This guy is still here. Why? Because he wasn't a good work prepared beforehand for Jesus. This good work had somebody else's name on it. Amen. That's why, just because 50 people have laid hands on somebody doesn't mean that we shouldn't. Turn to your neighbor and says, go for signs and wonders. Go for them. Go for them. It doesn't matter. If somebody's been prayed for 100 times, it doesn't matter. Let me share this testimony that happened in Miami. There's a lady, they come rarely because they have appointments. They're overseers of 70 different churches in the areas of London, etc. They do a lot of traveling. They've birthed a move of God in Wales. It's wonderful. Jeff and Jane Blees. Right. Now, Jane Blees has been 80% deaf in one ear for years. She had these like tiny little hearing aid things, right? In both ears. Wow, okay. So she's 70, 80% deaf in both ears. She's had everybody that you can name and a few you can't lay hands on her, right? So we're in Miami anyway. They wanted to come to Miami to the CAP thing and see what was going on there. God was doing great things, real wonderful things. There's a guy called Cash Luna, Carlos Luna. They call him Cash because that was his name when he was a kid, not because he's loaded. He's loaded, but that's not because why they call him that. Okay, right. So she's there in this meeting, and he says, right, we're going to pray for the glory of God to visit. And she thinks, wow, you know, this is going to be a healing meeting. It's fine. I've got Brother Bruce Oliver one side. I've got my husband the other. I'm surrounded by mighty men of God. So if he asks people to lay hands on the person next to them, then I'm going to be all right. I'm sorted. I'm covered. And then Cash said this. He said, lay hands on yourself and ask for the glory of God to visit. Ask for the Holy Spirit to visit you. So she laid hands on herself and got healed. Isn't that wonderful? Deaf for years and years and years and years. Now, say it out loud this way. Put that scripture up again, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Instead of we are his workmanship, I want us to bring it a little closer to home. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Say it out loud. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that I should walk in them. Now, that doesn't say that God made the person sick. Do you understand? The good work is the healing, not the making sick. Right? The devil makes people sick. The Bible says he comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Right? But God is there. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says in Acts 10, and I think it's verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So this doing good is part of our ministry too. If it belonged to Jesus, then in the new creation, it belongs to us too. You can't say, oh, that was Jesus, because in Mark 16, one of the last things he said is, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? And you know what also? Your degree doesn't disqualify you from the supernatural. The fact that you're a doctor, we've got many doctors in the house, the fact that you're a doctor doesn't disqualify you from laying hands on people and seeing them get healed. Do you remember there's a doctor in Miami, a guy called Chauncey Crandall, heart surgeon, cardiac surgeon. And he has been used to raise several people from the dead. The Miami Herald has documented it. He preached here at Harvest one time when Steve Brock was due to come and he couldn't make it. And so Chauncey Crandall was over with Pastor Benny Hinn in London. How many of you remember that meeting? And he's been used subsequently, about four or five people raised from the dead. Like flatline, 20-minute flatline. They draw the triangle, stick a hood on you and shove your carcass in the cold storage because you're gone. And several times as he's been walking out of the resus room, God has spoken to him. This one is for you. Go lay hands, pray, rebuke the spirit of death and get them back. Hallelujah. Do you remember I said to you a few weeks ago, I said, we'll see the dead raised. Do you know what the Holy Spirit told me in Miami? He said, you've seen the dead raised already. I said, what? I thought, well, are you talking in the future? He said, no. He said, you remember your baby Abigail? She was born dead for 10 minutes. Many of you know the story. Do you remember the Sunday morning you prayed? She was born dead for 10 minutes. And I said, well, Lord, how come, like, how do I know it was my prayers and not the resus team? And he said this. He said, the same doctors that resuscitated her or that were doing the mechanical stuff were the same ones who told you that she would be severely brain damaged. Is she severely brain damaged? Not at all. She might be a bit nuts sometimes, when, you know, when she hasn't eaten or she's too tired. But there's not one damaged hair on her head as a result of that thing. Give glory to God and praise. I said, wow. Suddenly, it's like this thing becomes easier. Because I've been involved in it already. Anyone been like that? You kind of almost sleepwalked yourself into a miracle. It's like that sometimes. Sometimes when the supernatural is on you, it's like you're sleepwalking into the supernatural. There's sometimes, oh my goodness, when I'm praying for somebody or I'm prophesying over them, the words are coming out of my mouth like bullets. And you know, when those words go out there, it's very difficult to retrieve them. So then sometimes I've prophesied to somebody about a particular situation, right? And I've become so like, Jesus, help me. What have I just said? Lord, help me. Like, God, you've got to bring this thing to pass. I'm going to look like a fool if this thing doesn't come to pass. I remember I got a word for Alex and Maggie. And this one scared me, man. I was in prayer for weeks after that thing. Oh, my goodness. They were expecting a baby. And they miscarried the baby. And it was a very sad situation. My heart was broken. You ever been moved with compassion? Yes. I pray that you'd be moved with compassion. Compassion is the forerunner of the miraculous. Turn to your neighbor and say, go for signs and wonders. Compassion is the forerunner of the miraculous. You read your Bible, how many times the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. What does that mean? He was encouraged to go for it with compassion. That's what that says in today's vernacular. And Alex and Maggie, they lost their baby. When was it? February, was it? It was something like that. I can't remember. It was like either late January or early February that they'd suffered this miscarriage. Do you remember, Roro, when it was? Right. Yeah. And what happened was they lost their baby like early January or early Feb. And I prophesied, I think it was an all night. I prophesied to them. I said, by December the 31st, you'll have a baby boy or something? I was like totally specific. You'll have a baby. Oh, was it? Oh, wow. Baby girl by the end of December. Now, you think about it. 9 months gestation, right? So how long have they got to get busy? Come on, we're all grown ups here. Amen. Man, I prayed, Jesus, let the spirit of Barry White come upon them. No, I'm joking. Oh, my goodness me. I said the baby would be dedicated before December the 31st. That's right. So that cuts it even finer because they have to give birth to the baby, run from the hospital and come here. You understand? That was like a close one. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, go for signs and wonders. Go for signs and wonders. So here's Peter and John and they're on their way to the temple. And there's a beggar man. Now, he's been sat here a long time, right? Even 10 minutes is a long time sat here with a crutch. This dude's been sat here 38 years, lame from his mother's womb. And Peter, they look at us, silver and gold, we have none, because they'd given it all. You know, the Bible said they shared all things in common. It wasn't because they was poor. Peter had a business that he left in the hands of people when he went and followed Jesus. Didn't care one thing. We've got to get this poor disciple's nonsense out of our brains. Well, he might have given his business away and followed Jesus. How do you know, Pastor P? Because after Jesus was raised from the dead, he went back fishing. You understand? So he had a proper business in tow to help finance this move of God called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right. So then Peter and John, now they've given that business because the Bible says they give everything into this common pot. The Bible says they had all things in common in Acts 2, right? So now he says, silver and gold, I have none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I serve, rise and walk. The Bible says immediately strength returned. Isn't he great? Can't you tell he works for the BBC? Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Now, you see, this good work had been prepared beforehand. Beforehand. Say beforehand. You're going to meet people, particularly when you take this challenge and you rise to the supernatural. You're going to meet people who have been damaged by the devil beforehand, but that God has prepared a good work for you to walk in beforehand. Amen. He does it. You see, the Bible says he declares the end, what? From the beginning. So the fact that you say yes to the challenge of the supernatural means that God has already prepared a sick body for you to lay hands on and for you to see them recover. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Bible says that signs and wonders will shut the mouths of your accusers. Do you know how crazy we look to the outside world? You think about it, right? We come into this back end of Wembley Place, right? And we jump up and down, we shout hallelujah, we speak in tongues, you know, we have like full-blown praise and worship disco. Then we give 10% of our money into the offering and then we sit down for half an hour, 35 minutes, hear the word of God, and we go home. Do you know how crazy that is to the outside world? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you look like a nutter. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, and sometimes you sound like a nutter. Now, as if it wasn't bad enough, right? Some of us off the scale Taliban crazy loons, we meet once a month for our all nights and our half nights. If you're an all nighter or a half nighter, put your hand up there. Now, turn to your fellow all nighter, half nighter and say, you look even nuttier than they do. We look mad. Without the supernatural, without the presence of God, without the visitation of the Most High, we look crazy. This is what I love about the Lord, right? God can push us into a corner where we have to break out into the supernatural. We have to step out. We just got to step out. And if you read your Bible very carefully, you know, miracles always happened in emergency situations. Every time there was an emergency, there was a miracle to meet that emergency. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, that's how I know that Ebola won't touch me. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, that's how I know that ISIS won't touch me. Because every time there is an emergency, there's a miracle to match and be greater than that emergency. Hallelujah. Our part, our portion in that is that we do not fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? The answer is absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Somebody put on Facebook, they said, oh, you know, this world is truly coming to an end. I'm very afraid for this generation, blah, blah, blah. And then he started going on about Ebola and ISIS. And on behalf of Harvest Church, I just responded. And I said, you know, sometimes, that's why I'm not really on Twitter. Lord Jesus, that thing, man, that would be like gunpowder in my hands. So I responded on Facebook and I said, should we be afraid of Ebola, aka, in other words, alternatively known as the deadly pestilence? Or should we be afraid of ISIS, aka the arrow that flies by day? Answers on a postcard, please, to P.O. Box Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we're going to get this job done and we're going to travel the world and do signs and wonders and cast out devils, you can't be worried about who's over your shoulder. Amen. We'll sleep through any attack in Jesus' mighty name and wake up fine. You remember that time, the London riots? The week beforehand, we were up praying. You remember that? And the Holy Spirit showed me this eagle bringing bad news into London. And I prophesied in the Spirit, no harm shall come nigh thy dwelling. No dwelling here was touched. Nobody here was touched. And London was burning like a tinderbox. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look at this. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 14. I love this one. This one is a proper challenge. Oh my. Acts chapter 4 and verse 14. Look at this. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. These are the accusers of Peter and John. You've preached in the name of Jesus. We're telling you to be quiet or we're going to jail you. And they're thinking, well, we've got a jailbreak angel anyway. You know, there were 5 jailbreaks in the book of Acts. And you've got to be in jail to be busted out. May you be jet. No, I'm joking. Some of you, you're not up to that yet, but we'll get you there in Jesus' mighty name. And seeing the man who had been healed. You see, here's Peter and here's John and here's the lame man who will be forever known as Tim standing beside Peter and John. And they're standing being accused by the religious leaders who were happy for this guy to sit there lame for 38 years, these religious accusers, and then they said, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had what? Nothing to say in reply. You see, we look crazy until the lame get healed. We look crazy until the blind see, and until deaf ears pop open, and until the barren sing because they're the mother of a multitude. We look nuts. I'm happy to look nuts. Yes, this God who's prospered me. Hey, I'd look crazy for him. I told God once, I said, Lord, you're the one who's put fine watches on my wrist. If you ever want me to go down to Brent Cross and lift my hands right in the middle of Brent Cross Shopping Center and just glorify and praise the God of Israel, I know you'll put another watch on that wrist too, as well as the one on this wrist. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. I'm prepared to look like a dunce for my God. Because the Bible says that man's foolishness is what? God's wisdom. And man's wisdom is what? God's foolishness. Hallelujah. So I'm quite happy because I know one day my God will vindicate me.
Amen.
Might take me 10 lame men to pray for. You know the testimony about the guy who had 2 weeks to live. Do you remember that? First person I ever laid hands on. And he was sick with AIDS, HIV. He was a homosexual. And he was living in Earl's Court. He'd come out of the gay lifestyle. He'd given his life to Christ. And he was just believing God with all he had. He was dying of AIDS. And he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. He told me a lot about how to reach into that community and rescue some of these poor people bound by this thing that overtakes their life. He said, in my life, he said, it was like a religion. It had to be gay this, gay that, gay the other. It had to be all kind. And he just described the bondage that he was in, feeling like a prisoner. And one day Jesus Christ came and rescued him. He heard the gospel and he said, God, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm going for this. If I live or if I die, I'm going for it. And so then he was admitted to hospital, St. Thomas's. He had 2 weeks to live. Andrew, his name was. And I went down and prayed for him and I prayed. You know, you pray. He had 2 weeks to live. I laid hands on him and prayed for his healing. He died in 6 days. I didn't kill him. Well, I don't know. Now I'm a bit confused. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll see what my prayers did. Now, that was the first guy I ever laid hands on, right? He had 2 weeks to live. I prayed for him. He was dead in 6 days. But now, thousands and thousands of people around the world, and some of you as well, are glad that I didn't give up. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, this thing is a bit like a little baby eagle flapping his wings. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And actually, you know, sometimes you're better off to start praying for people and make a few mistakes at the beginning so then you can train others how you missed it and everything like that. But thank God I learned. Andrew's in heaven now, rejoicing. I'll catch up with him one day and I'll find out exactly what went wrong. Said, you kill me, you scumbag. No, I'm joking. Ah, praise God. Praise God. You see, it's worth it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's worth it. Go for signs and wonders. It's worth it. It's really, really real. When one gets healed, trust me. You see, everybody's going to get sick and everybody's going to die sometime. But when the supernatural intervenes and there's a healing, wow, it's worth it. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus, is Lazarus alive today? No. You'll get that revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. This is one thing I love because this is part of my ministry here. Ezekiel chapter 29 and verse number 21. I love this scripture. Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 21. Praise God Almighty for the prophetic. Thank God for the prophetic. Thank you, wonderful Jesus, for the prophetic ministry, for the prophetic anointing, Lord God. You see, when you prophesy and something comes to pass, that's as supernatural as a healing or as a miracle. Do you understand?
Yes.
Because it's all miraculous by nature. It's all supernatural by nature.
Right.
You know, if I prophesy, for instance, Alex Maggie, by December 31st, you'll dedicate a baby girl here in the name of Jesus. And then it's February. Then you know it's got to be miraculous by nature, right? All of the prophecies in Scripture that were fulfilled were miraculous. That's the nature of prophecy, right? Look at what the Bible says in Ezekiel 29:21. It says, on that day, I will make a horn sprout for the house of Israel. That's Jesus Christ. I will open your mouth in their midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So just as the accusers of Peter and John, who were accusing them of preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, just as those accusers had nothing to say because of the lame man standing there, also, when you release a prophetic word into somebody's life and that prophetic word comes true, then that's just as much of a miracle as if a lame man walked. In fact, sometimes it's even more miraculous. Like the time God opened my eyes, somebody suffered a burglary here. I'll tell you the story one day. It's a long story. And then God opened my eyes and I saw the guy who did it. So me and a couple of tough guys went around the house to retrieve what was stolen. And the look on the guy's face. And I said, if you do this thing again, I said, you're going to go to jail and you're going to go for 5 years. Guess where he is now? How long is he doing? Gosh, you guys are sharp, man. It's Sunday morning, but you're sharp. Hallelujah to Jesus. What? That's as miraculous, right? Miraculous in nature. I will open your mouth. Just lift a hand to heaven right now. Close your eyes and say, Lord, open my mouth. Open my mouth. Put your words in my mouth. Put your spirit in my hands that I can lay hands on the sick and see them healed in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I love this. I love this. I release you into the supernatural in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In the body of Christ, you know, we've got too much teaching without enough doing. It's a common disease in the body of Christ. I would much rather do and then teach Because if you read it, if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, real quick there, Gifty. Acts 1, verse 1. He says, in my former book, O Theophilus, you know, the book of Luke was written to this guy, Theophilus. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I told you all about all that Jesus began to what? Do and teach. In other words, the doing came before the teaching. In Luke 10, verse number 9, when Jesus is sending out the disciples in twos, he said, before you preach the kingdom, he says, heal the sick. Luke 10, verse 9, please. And heal those in it who are sick. He's talking about knocking on doors and evangelizing. He says, when you go into a house, heal those who are sick and say to them. You get it? So the doing, what? Comes before the teaching. We've had it so badly the other way around, where we go into the deep Greek and the deep Hebrew, and like one guy said, Hebrew, Shebrew, and homebrew. It's like all of them are about as effective as the other. Without signs and wonders, it's true. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, go for signs and wonders. I know God is doing something wonderful here. We're going to close with this random piece of scripture, Zephaniah. I hope I can find it now. Anyone that know where Zephaniah is? Thank you. Zephaniah, I found it. Okay. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum. Where's that little kid? You know the little one who can he can quote all the books of the Bible? Have you seen that on YouTube? Some like five-year-old kid. You haven't seen that one? Oh, he can quote all the books of the Bible in order. I need him now. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 11. Look at this. This is the era that God is going to be bringing us into. We're going to end this thing with a bang. Praise God Almighty. Oh, praise Jesus. Look at this. It says, the Lord will be terrifying to them. For he will starve all the gods of the earth. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
You think how many foreign gods are out there? How many foreign types of teaching that somehow, you know, you can get closer to God by hmm and 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 by and by ooh and by and by. How many gods are out there? The Bible says the Lord will be terrifying to them, for he will starve all the gods of the earth. And all the coastlands of the nations will bow down to him, everyone from his own place. Praise the living God. I want my God to starve all the other gods. All other gods. That's why when I went to Volta region, I'll close by saying this. When I went to Volta region in Ghana, some Ghanaians even won't go there. Am I right? Am I telling the truth? And I went there and preached in Ho City. And I'd already, in my spirit, I'd already challenged and dismissed all the other gods. So all their witchcraft, all their juju, all their nonsense didn't work at all while we were there. But signs, miracles, healings, wonders, prophetic words, joy, glory. What does the Bible call it? It says, joy everlasting and full of glory was in great abundance. To the extent that we did that thing in October, we did the crusade in October, they wouldn't take down our banners. Even the following May, they wouldn't take down our banners because as far as they were concerned, that was a point of contact with a miraculous night. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now this place, you know, in some households, there might be five or six gods. All those gods were starved. Every single one of those gods were starved. And Jehovah, in his glory, was magnificent. Praise his holy name. Stand to your feet. We want to thank God for his word today. As you stand to pray, just before you close your eyes, just turn to your neighbor one last time and just tell him, go for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that there'll be a supernatural activation of your people in the realm of the Spirit. That God, Lord, the the desires that you hold in heaven to visit your people. We don't need to wait for emergency situations, Lord, to see your hand. It's better to be living in blessing than it is to be living in miracles. But Father God, we receive both in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive miracles for those who need them, Lord. Let us never be lacking in that area, Father, because you have prepared good works for us to walk in. From the foundation of the earth, Lord God, you are God alone, and you have prepared us beforehand to walk in those good works. Let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen. And may you starve all the other gods of the earth, Lord God, that they may know the true and living God and his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being. And all God's people said, amen and amen.